Hey guys, what's up? It's William, the Opinion Updike, here with Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network,
Woo!
Coming at you 5 days a week with my best friend, Charles, soon to be an absent father, Mopper.
I am. I'm out of town Friday and Monday. It's all Papa Will after this, guys.
So we got a good show for you guys today. I mean, better than a good show.
A heck of a show.
For you guys today. We're going to start off with an NBA wrap-up, go through some of the games, and then get into our favorite Thursday segment, is our Thirsty Thursday, as we talk about who we'd like to see get a little bit more playing time, whether it be rookies, whether it be lineups. So find out who I think should be spending a little bit more time at the five.
Ooh.
And then we're going to wrap up with our general Clippers talk. We've gotten into... Charles has been...
Some stat talk.
Charles got some stat talk.
Oh, yeah.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
So, the other Los Angeles basketball team got their first win against the Suns last night.
Is that
night.
The Angels?
Yeah, the Los Angeles Lakers of Anaheim.
Of course.
Of the Angels. the Lakers got their first win against the Suns, 131-113. LeBron with 19-8-10. Wonder if Lakers fans still want to trade him.
Yeah, I...
God, Lakers fans can be so annoying. Not all Lakers fans are annoying. I'm not saying that. Just the reactionary. Lance Stephenson led the way for the Lakers with 23 points.
Which is never a sentence that you want to hear if you're a team hoping to make the playoffs.
Yeah, not at all. Ayton posted up 22-11. Booker had 23-7-7. The Suns are set up so nicely with their young core. I really hope they can figure some stuff out. Those two dudes are so tight.
I mean, they're still a team that's probably, what would you say, two seasons away from being like...
Yeah.
Good.
I'd say they're two seasons away from being half a season away. That's just my take. Warriors took care of the Wizards pretty handily. $144 to $122. These are gum prices at this point.
Steph 51-5-3.
In three quarters.
Why do the Warriors have to be so terrifying?
I don't know. I feel like,
it's like already a statement game.
Durant shot 70% and had 38-7. I don't know. What more can we say? We can talk about this at another point, but I think everyone's kind of fooling themselves maybe that anyone can challenge the Warriors again. They somehow look better this year. Like,
this has got to be the last year though, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, I think it's going to be hard contractually to keep the core together.
Yeah.
I think
Aren't you bored if you're them?
I was going to say, like, if you're Durant or somebody who isn't considered, like, as integral to the franchise, like,
yeah,
are you bored at this point?
I don't know. Let's hope they are. Raptors beat the Timberwolves 112-105. Biggest thing from this game, the announcers for the Minnesota had a pretty funny clip where they were like, you can just tell by the look on his face, Cat doesn't want to play tonight, which is never good. Then he took a couple of like Andrew Bynum-esque threes where he was just like, who cares? He takes a three, airballs it, and then immediately signals to get subbed out. We were talking about this before we did the podcast. If the Timberwolves were in a bigger market, they would be getting eviscerated right now.
Oh, yeah. You would be harangued.
It's insane what's going on right there.
Is this like a punishment to the Wolves organization for like not getting rid of Jimmy or?
I don't know, man. I guess. Because we don't know whose team it is. You know, we're talking about it like we're not. So I don't think anyone knows whose team. It's not Tibbs. It's not Jimmy's. It's not Cat's. It's definitely not Wiggins.
I mean, it should be Cat's team.
It should be, but he also...
It should be the guy that you're paying $200 million.
I like that logic. elsewhere, you were pretty psyched on this one.
Oh, yeah. Bucks smacks the Sixers.
Yeah.
Giannis, a triple-double, and not a child's triple-double, not a fool's triple-double, a man's triple-double of 32, 18, and 10.
His 10th assist was sick, too. He, like, went up to the rim... drew contact and then did not a behind the back pass, but like a double handed, like behind the back over his head to a corner three pass. It was pretty tight to see. Giannis for MVP, maybe, probably going to be Anthony Davis. Jazz sent the Rockets to a 1-3 start, beating them 100-89. Gobert with a classic Gobert stat line, which is more rebounds than points, 12-13. Donovan Mitchell with 38-5-7.
Monster.
Huge. Harden with 29-5-7. Almost as good as Donovan Mitchell. Melo had 22-7. Gordon goes 5-21. Rockets went 11-40 from deep. Yeah, I had to do a double take looking at those stats. Harden left the game early because of some hamstring. What was initially thought of as tightness, but then today D'Antoni said it was more of a strain. So we might see the Rockets without Harden. We might steal two wins off these Rockets on Friday.
Yeah, are they just going to completely implode?
They might. I have a note on here that there's probably going to be some consistency issues.
Hey, why is everyone getting hamstring issues now?
I think so. I have a theory. I had this theory about football, too. So human ligaments can't get any stronger.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
no, they can't.
Our ACLs
There's no way to train. You can make it more flexible.
Yeah. Our ACLs are the same as every other human before us.
Yeah.
But humans have gotten so strong and like training has gotten so specialized. I genuinely think, and if you're a doctor listening to this, tell me I'm an idiot if I'm being an idiot. I feel like people are, their muscles are too hyper strengthened to, you know, their ligaments can't handle it.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, that makes sense that, like, human performance has got to the point where it is our better than the human body.
Yeah, then certain parts of it, they can't be strengthened because it's like, once your ACL, yeah, more flexible, but it's still going to tear.
Yeah.
The rise in ACL injuries in the NFL has been insane lately. Like, the last 4 years, it's just, like, skyrocketed.
And now, I feel like, in the NBA, it's a lot of, like, hamstring and hip kind of stuff.
And there's also the stuff where there's no real, like, timetables to return. They're like, you know, when he's better, he's better. And it's like, well, you have doctors. Like, figure it out.
Yeah.
Darius Miles died for this. that was our very quick NBA wrap-up. Tons of games happen. Coming up after this break, we're going to be talking about some more that we want to see in our weekly segment on Thursdays, Thirsty Thursdays. So, Will, what are you thirsty for, other than an ice-cold brew?
This one might not be popular, but I'm thirsty for more... Tobias and Gallo.
Whoa, wait a minute.
We're calling it Tobias.
Dude, yes, we are calling it Tobias. Tobias sauce? Okay, sorry, I'm way off track. Go ahead.
That's what you call a beautiful mistake.
Yeah.
So I'm thirsty for more Tobias at the 4, Gallo at the 5.
Interesting. We've only seen it not that many minutes this year.
No, and it didn't pan out that well in the game against the Pelicans. Yeah.
Which is, I think, you know, kind of to be expected against a team like the Pelicans.
Yeah, but the thing is we are, what, maybe, are we even 5% into the season?
No.
We're like almost 5% into the season, and I think we got to give this one some time. I think it's worth it, and here's why. I think that they, for the most part, have solid size to play against a wide range of opposing bigs.
For sure. I'm with you so far.
Yeah, and they both have, like... They're both quick.
Mm-hmm.
Gallo more so even now that he's in shape than he was previously. Like, he looks faster.
For sure.
He looks stronger. And I think that the speed and the experience will help them defensively, you know? They're not going to crush around the rim, and it will be a weakness. It's not a lineup you can play against Anthony Davis.
For sure. They're not going to, it doesn't seem like a lineup where, obviously, it's not a get stops lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think offensively, it's particularly interesting.
Okay, yeah.
Both guys can space the floor.
For sure.
Both guys really great around the rim. As I said in the last thing, Gallo looks great.
Dunks now.
Yeah, Gallo looks great around the rim.
He might have twice as many dunks at the end of the season as Gortat.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be a thing. Because, like, not because of Gallo, but Gortat should dunk more.
Yeah, and... he's been finishing even a little stronger at the rim. I've seen Tobias miss a bunch of like close layups and putbacks, but you know, not a criticism. Obviously, he's wonderful. He's gonna get it figured out. He's just got the jitters.
Yeah,
early game jitters. but yeah, like offensively, this combo is so great because of obviously the way they space the floor, and then they're both underrated playmakers, I would say, as well.
Yeah, that's something that's kind of been a knock on Gallo, is that he has the ability to kind of pass and get a little more assists. It just hasn't happened yet, really, in his career.
Yeah.
Like, so, he's a European player, and though players, you know, who played in Europe tend to have a little more, not better understanding,
it's a different view of the game.
Different view of the game, especially for bigs. Who can make those passes. So I think as we go, I think his passing's going to get a little better. He's going to up those assist numbers.
And just piggybacking on that,
this is just a little
nugget for you.
Okay.
They say that whatever language you learn to speak, the first language you learn to speak, is directly related to the way you will solve problems for the rest of your life.
I thought you were going to say the first language you learn to speak is basketball. And I was going to break the sound recorder over your head.
So maybe, and then, you know, this is probably stretching.
I like where this is going.
You play basketball in a different language, in a different thing. You see the game differently. You make plays differently. You understand or think differently. you understand what players are going to do differently.
I can absolutely see that. We need to get a grant to study this.
Hey,
because I actually really like that theory. That's awesome.
Do any government employees listen to this? Anybody who can give us a grant?
Maybe not from this government. Maybe from some municipalities or something like that. Maybe not from the United States government right now.
But anyways, yeah. So I think that they can both be playmakers, especially if we run stuff from the post. You know?
Yeah, because it opens up the floor for other guys to cut. Like we could get, you know, maybe some more Avery Bradley cuts, which we're going to touch on in a few seconds. Maybe he cuts more. Maybe it just clears out that lane to get guys at the rim, because we want to see Lou at the rim getting free throws and stuff like that. Patrick Beverley was really great last game when he was being aggressive.
Yeah.
And so when those lanes open up, that would really space things out for those guys.
Totally. And let guys like Lou and stuff do their thing. And, you know, an issue is neither of these guys, in my opinion, are like perfect for the point forward kind of role.
For sure. Tobias, I think, a little bit better than Gallo.
Tobias more so, yeah. Gallo doesn't really quite have the handle.
Yeah.
Neither of them have that like kind of first step that's super deadly.
Definitely.
But I think, yeah, playmaking from the post would be great. That's all I got.
That's,
I want to
really
see more
good
of
one.
It.
So who would you run 1 through 3? Ideally, Will Updike's on the sidelines.
Oh, okay. So ideally, I'm going Shea.
1.
I'm going Lou.
2.
I'm going... I think I want to go Lou.
I was just going to say, yeah, Luke at the 3 for some, a little more defense.
Yeah, and then you go Gallo, Toby.
That's a high score.
Actually, I mean, other way around.
Toby,
but,
Gallo.
Yeah.
Tobias.
That's
a high scoring lineup.
Yeah, I think they cover for each other... defensively, I mean, enough. Like,
what teams in the West, maybe just in the Pacific Division, would you play this against? Kings, for sure.
Kings, for sure. I think for stretches, it could work against the Suns.
Yeah. Not when Ayton's in.
Warriors, I would be interested to try it.
Oh, yeah. They have a bit of a center issue. I mean, when they're putting up 140 for a game, but, you know.
Rockets, I don't know. Rockets is a little bit of a tough call because... Capella is just like so athletic.
You're going whole Western Conference now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going everybody.
Everybody. Yeah. I don't think that would work against them. Maybe Timberwolves, if they have that weird Teague Rose lineup.
Yeah. I think it would. I actually think it would work really.
Because that would clear out space and then those guys could drive on it.
Yeah. And I think that they could bully Cat around.
Cat is soft.
Yeah.
Jimmy's right. Like, Cat plays too much Fortnite. I'm saying it right now. It's not an original thing, but yeah, I don't know. We need to stop talking about Cat. I like that Toby and Gallo at the 4 and 5. I think we might see it more, hopefully, in the right situations, not in the completely wrong situations.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to work for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good Thirsty Thursday.
What are you thirsty for?
I'm thirsty for maybe some Ty Wallace and some Darius Thornwell sightings.
Okay.
This year. There was a quote today. Doc said that no one really pays attention to defense, which is why people want Avery Bradley to be out of the starting rotation. I retweeted it with a hilarious comment about how he's not going away from the starting lineup anytime soon, and was met with vehement defense of Avery Bradley being in the starting lineup, and that there's nothing wrong with our backcourt. I'm not saying it's catastrophically wrong. I'm just saying maybe put Sendarius Thornwell in there.
Yeah.
Just to see how it works.
Yeah. And we have some numbers on this coming up in our next segment.
Yeah. I got a few right here. So Ty Wallace, he had a wonderful preseason.
Yeah.
It was really awesome to see. He's hungry. We matched an offer sheet for him. Like, let's get him some playing time.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough stretch right now. We're 2-2, which I think is better than what a lot of people think we're going to be. For me personally, for sure.
Yeah.
At this point. But we paid him the money. He's young. He's hungry. Maybe play him with Bradley, you know, not take him out for Bradley because that doesn't really work, but just maybe stagger that or something. That would be cool to see. And then I think we can take out Sendarius and Bradley. Looking at last year's stats, Bradley shot 38% from deep. Sendarius shot 37. Bradley did have the edge in points with 15 to Sendarius's 8, which
solid.
He was a rookie though. He was a rookie, and I'm not rooting against Avery Bradley. I would love for Avery Bradley to get back to 38% from deep with 15 points a game. For Bradley, he had 1.1 defensive win shares to Sendarius's 0.9. I feel like these numbers are close enough, aside from the points, to justify putting Sindarius in to spell Bradley every now and then just to see how it looks.
Yeah, well, and especially if the entire argument comes down to people not carrying on defense. I mean, Sindarius proved himself to be like a really
dogged
capable
defender. Yeah. Like, and he got in better shape this year. Bradley is averaging 4 points a game through four games.
Oof.
Which, I know he's not a primary scorer. I know he's never going to be the guy you want to put up 25 points. But 4 points through four games is abysmal.
Even 10 would be nice.
Even 10 would be nice. But four is just like, he clanged all the shots in game one. I know this is a small sample size. I know it's only four games. But it just seems like maybe he would benefit from not starting a couple games or just getting spelled out more like that. Yeah, and we love Sindarius Stornwell on this podcast.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know, from the eye test, I just don't think that he's that big of a difference maker.
That's another thing, is when he's on the court, Beverly is a guy, you look at him on the court and you're saying, he's working his ass off, he's bothering people.
Yeah.
Bradley is playing, he's giving up 0.88 points per possession, which is average. It's not bad, it's not great, it's like a pretty good average type points per possession given up. So what is he doing out there?
Yeah, I'm confused.
There were a bunch of ride or die Avery Bradley fans on Twitter getting at me.
All right.
Which, you know, I guess one guy said he wanted to give Bradley 15 to 20 games.
With the same starting backcourt.
And I think maybe consistency wise, I'm not against that given how hard these first 14 games are.
Yeah.
But I don't want to give him 20 games. I don't want to give him a quarter of the season.
I mean,
stank it up.
I think once we've made it through this beginning stretch of 14 games,
because it's just gonna get easier after these 14 games.
Yeah,
like
I just think that I do think that there is merit to letting Doc run this system and see how it goes against the toughest competition we'll face.
Agreed.
And then to tweak from there.
I will. Yeah, a bit of this is overreactionary on my point. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed about Avery Bradley, but it is a tough stretch. I want to see more Sindarius.
Yeah.
He's a great player. Well, you know, not great. You know what I'm saying? Like, for what he does, he's really good. I just think he could help us coming in or starting the game or spelling that kind of thing.
Also, Avery Bradley is not on this team anymore.
No. So he might not have been on the team in, like, 2 months.
Yeah.
They're trying to, like, maybe up his trade value.
I mean, we've talked about that here before, that maybe the whole idea behind him getting so much playing time is that, you know, he'll eventually start looking good, which will entice a trade.
Not against these teams.
But my thing is if he's not part of our long-term plan, why aren't we developing guys who are?
Yeah, exactly. And this is kind of, you know, goes back to kind of one of the knocks on Doc. Doc's knocks is what we're going to call him on this podcast. Just thought of that. We are crushing it today.
We really are.
One of the Doc's knocks, yeah, is not getting these guys to play. There was an article on, I think, Clipperholics today about, you know, we need three-point shooting, so maybe let's toss Jerome in some garbage minutes to see how his three-point shooting looks, because that's what we got him for.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's develop Sindarius. Let's maybe see how Ty plays with Avery Bradley, because maybe Ty Wallace plays better with Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
Avery Bradley feels more comfortable taking more of the reins as being the number one defensive guy in the lineup, as opposed to letting Patrick Beverly do that. You know, maybe
yeah.
He wants more of that responsibility. In short, I'm not rooting against Avery Bradley by any means.
No, I would love for him to be great. Obviously.
I just would like to see if this performance continues, if he still keeps putting up 4 points a game on 10% 3-point shooting, maybe we see some changes.
Yeah.
I'll give it 5 games.
Before, total or 5 more games?
5 more games. Okay. Yeah, no, yeah, I'm giving it until Friday, baby. No, I'll give it 5 more games. And if it continues like this, I am coming at each and every one of these people who tweeted at me today defending Avery Bradley so hard. No, I'm just kidding. I just would like to see some changes.
Yeah.
If it continues like this for 5 games. Anything else you're thirsty for before we get into some more Clippers deep stats?
No, I'm pretty wet now.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Anyway, after this ad, I apologize for my co-host. The Blue Chew ads were yesterday, bro. After this ad, we're going to be just talking some pretty deep Clippers stats. So currently, looking at Clippers' offensive stats, not good.
Bad.
Through 4 games. It is a small sample size, but hey, that's where we are in the season. We are 28th in three-pointers made, 27th in team assists, and 21st in points.
The one that honestly shocks me the most is the assists.
Yeah, because the ball was moving really well in the preseason, which is just preseason, but
yeah, and I mean, like we talked about in that first quarter of the OKC game is the best movement we've seen all season.
Last season too.
Yeah.
Like, it was unbelievably smooth.
And you know what? I can honestly, just because we're, I don't know, they don't like to say rebuilding, but like we're a building
we're
team.
We're figuring it out. Yeah. Say. Yeah. We're working on it.
I'm actually more okay with the 28th and 3 points made and like 21st in total points for right now. I mean, obviously not forever.
Yeah.
But the assist number is just really troubling to me.
I don't even think anyone has had, correct me if I'm wrong, please, I don't think anyone's had over 10 assists in a game.
No.
One person on our team.
No. Beverly had 8 his last game.
Yeah.
Trying to think if anyone has had more. I don't think so.
Yeah, so that's kind of a thing where just more ball movement. Ball movement means you win usually. It's a very good indicator of if your team is playing well. And it's great, you know, defensively we have really good stats. We're in the top, 10 to 15 for most of those advanced stats. And it's great to have a defensive identity, but our offense is lagging so hard it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you still have to have like a league average offense.
Exactly.
Right?
And if it's nice to have a team that's good on defense, but a lot of the times teams with like a defensive identity do that because they don't necessarily have someone who can go get you a bucket. But we have those guys.
Yeah.
We have guys who say, we're down 8. Lou, Tobias, Gallo, go get us back in this game.
Yeah.
And they can go do that. So are we just not getting them looks? Like, that's where I get kind of frustrated.
I know.
I love the defensive identity for sure. It's been great. But we have scores too. It's not like
I know,
we're
it's kind of baffling.
Them. Yeah, we're not lacking guys who can score.
Yeah.
Tobias and Gallo combined for 52 last game.
Yeah, and they're both like 40. We have multiple near 40% 3-point shooters. Luke, Gallo, Toby. I mean,
let's use them. Mike Scott's been terrible, but that's going to happen. Yeah, it's just kind of an odd. We're still figuring stuff out. It's still a new team. Not bagging on the team at all. 2-2 is great right now, and there are a bunch of positives. But the offense is just, it seems like it's still figuring itself out.
I think a lot of that is kind of a communication and comfortability thing.
For sure.
You see a lot of stuff where we have turnovers on like bad passes, which is going to happen when you have a rookie point guard.
Yeah.
We have stuff where people like lobs and stuff aren't getting there because once again, like it's like the pass isn't exactly perfect.
For Boban, they're great because you just throw it at the top of the shot clock and he grabs it, which is awesome.
So I do think that that's an issue. I also think that everybody is still warming up.
It's hard to, I feel like I've been fairly negative on this podcast this episode, but it's just we've played such good teams, so I think these are getting exacerbated. And I'm kind of focusing on that. But I think you're right. The biggest shock is kind of that 27th in assists.
Yeah.
We need to have more of a facilitation focus.
Yeah, definitely.
But, we're hanging 2-2 right now.
Yeah.
We got 2 big wins. We got the Rockets tomorrow. Which, do you think the Rockets are a worse team without Harden or without Chris Paul?
I'm going to say without Harden.
Yeah, you think they don't have as much scoring and stuff like that? I was kind of leaning that way, too.
And, he's, just he's a magnet for defenses.
Yeah,
like, that's definitely why all those guys get open all the time. Like, that's, that's, their entire thing.
Yeah, they collapse on Harden.
Four guys stand around while Harden, while Harden.
That's really
while Harden drives to the basket.
That's pretty much wrapping it up for us today, you guys. I am out of town. I'm going back home to Montana.
He's got to go back to his secret family.
Yeah, going back to the secret fam in Montana. I will be gone Friday and Monday, so you're with Papa the Opinion Wheel Updike.
It's going to be great, guys.
He's going to have a preview against the Rockets. He's going to be doing his Pac-Div Power Ranking Pacific Division, for those of you not
I'm never calling it that.
I have been quasi-positive Chuck Mockler.
And I've been William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.